This is Jennifer Davey. Am I right with Davey?
You are.
D-A-V-Y.
Yes. Yes.
Where does the surname come from?
Well, it's not mine. It's my husband's. And I think it's from like Offaly, Tipperary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not really a Waterford name.
No, yet. I'm a Welsh from Park.
John's Park. Very good.
Yeah, Jerry Welsh from The Glass.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, so everyone probably knows him.
What's your husband's name, by the way?
Wayne Davey.
Hello, Wayne. And how is he? All good?
Oh, he's chill. He's gone backwards. He's so easy going. So don't even start me on that, Damien. That's for another day.
And who have you got in John's Park? How many relatives there you want to say hello to? Because this is the important thing about this piece. Forget about everything else you say.
Right. Yeah? Oh, my God. Let me go. Okay. So my Auntie Joan, my Auntie Marion, my Auntie Margaret, my Uncle Joe, my Uncle Pat, my Daddy Jerry, my Mammy Maria Welch. Who else is there? Oh my God. My brother Connor, who owns NCon. I think you've met him before. He's amazing and a legend. And a big shout out actually to Mr. Carey, the fifth class teacher in Ballyduff, because Oliver, my 11-year-old, was very impressed that I was going to be on the radio this morning. And he said, I'm going to tell my teacher. And I said, do tell him to tune in today.
And they might be listening this morning. So if they're listening.
Hello to Oliver and hello to Freddie, my sons.
Yeah, if they're only listening there, well, that's lovely. Absolutely. Gahuntukar Fod. So it's Jennifer Day, aka the Wellbeing Warrior, and I only started following you over Christmas on an article by Cathy Donaghy in the Irish Independent. I saw there just before the new year. Really good article, and it's about 26 habits I suppose to ditch in 2026. And we were just looking at the clock there. It was 11:11, and you said that's very woo. You're very woo.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I'm so stupid. What does woo mean?
Okay, so when I say woo, it refers to the world of crystals and sage and manifestation and angel numbers and white feathers and all that kind of stuff, right? And I often say to whoever I meet, like, I'm really woo, because to talk to me,
ooh,
you, yeah, not scary. I'm very straight talking. I'm like the Irish Mel Robbins, I've been told, right? And I'm very practical.
You look a little bit like her, actually, yeah.
But much better looking, of course, Damien.
Of course, of course.
Just in case, yeah, you're obviously thinking that. And I am very practical, like my coaching is rooted in neuroscience. But I'm very spiritual, I'm very intuitive, and I bring a lot of that work into what I do. My parents were laughing, actually, because they were watching Goodbye June at the weekend, you know, the new film on Netflix, and they were trying to pick, like, which one of the daughters I would be. And I said, I think I'm very like Kate Winslet, I'm really practical. And my dad started howling, laughing, and he said, would you go away? You're the girl with the crystals and the sage. So, yeah, that's what woo means. Yeah, yeah.
And if people that don't know it, angel numbers, it's where the hour number is the same as the minute number.
Yeah.
So 10:10 or 11:11 or
patterns and numbers.
14:14, yeah, patterns and
what
numbers.
What they mean. And they give great comfort to people.
Yeah.
But, and I just wrote about this, so it's going to be posted at the weekend. That's all well and good.
Oh, Janie Mack.
But that's not where the actual change happens in our lives.
Where does it happen?
That happens by doing the actual work, whether it be working with somebody like me, whether it be going on retreats and diving deep and learning. So we can't just kind of passively walk through life and say, oh, there's a white feather, I'm safe. Or, oh, there's 11:11, that means I'm on the right path. We've got to do as well. We've got to act on that.
Okay, so it can't be airy-fairy stuff.
No, you can start with that, but you've got to take action as well.
Start with that. Because again, people will see the number is 11:11, and they'll go on their phone straight away and they'll see, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. And it'll mean, oh, something good is going to happen in your life, blah, 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 like a horoscope.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it's going to happen. You have to make it work.
You have to make it happen. You have to take that aligned action. For me, that's like if I get an intuitive pull, like to send you a message. So when you followed me, I said, I'm going to message him now.
Yeah.
And I did.
Yeah.
And I took action, and it leads to things.
And I went, oh God, here we go.
Yeah,
I don't want to talk to this woman at all,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. That would have been a huge mistake.
Messages straight back. And again, I'm sorry I hadn't heard of you before, because your followers, and you've got great Instagram followers, and you've got a great business. We'll talk about the business in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a very, very good message. So what is your message?
Well, my message is to all the women out there, and the men as well, to be honest. I can't, my father always says, you can't be forgetting the men. But my mission is, I want us to change our narrative from the inside out. So much of what we say is rooted in limiting beliefs that are never, were never ours to carry. There were things we were told when we were kids. There were things that we observed from other women or authority figures. And we made them mean something about ourselves, like girls don't do this or boys don't do that. And a lot of that is BS. And as adults, we're going around living our life with these things in mind, and we've actually never stopped to think, hang on a second, do I actually believe that to be true of me? And if I don't, then it needs to go in the bin, because it's actually dictating a lot of my decisions. So the mission for I'm On is to help women to do that, because I did it. I was a chronic overthinker for years. Chronic. And when I had my first son, postnatal depression happened. That completely changed my life. And everything I learned over the 7 years after that, I realised I don't love teaching anymore, because I used to be a teacher. I really want to help women. And I've been doing that for the last 5 years. I've helped hundreds of women, thousands actually, if I do all the numbers up. And it's amazing, and it's important work.
Why did you make that change? What was the catalyst for that change?
About a year after I had my first son, and I was starting to feel a bit better. So I had, you know, taken the medication. I was running, even though I hated running, right? Still do. Going to counselling, doing all the things to feel better. I knew that well-being was something that was largely unspoken of. Like, this was 10 years ago. A lot has changed in 10 years in those conversations. I could see the importance of it in the education system with the kids, with the teachers I was working side by side with. So I tried to bring more of that into my life. Rather than completely burning all bridges and changing career, I tried to bring that into teaching. And I had some success. And then I realised, when something is going to be cut, it's going to be the well-being stuff. And that's exactly what happened. And one school year, I remember it so vividly, right? I had just gone back to school after having my second boy, Freddie. I mean, that was 2018, and we're in a staff meeting. And I was all excited, talking about self-care. And this is a real buzzing hashtag now, self-care. Everyone was talking about it. And I talked about it in a staff meeting in terms of, this is great what we're doing for the kids, but what about us as teachers? And it went down like a lead balloon. And I drove home that evening feeling a bit foolish, and thinking to myself, I'm in the wrong room. I'm in the wrong room. I'm doing the wrong thing. And I think a lot of people have that moment in their life when they realise they're in the wrong room, whether it be literally or figuratively. And I started to think about what lights me up. And at that point, I had been on my socials. I didn't have Instagram before. So I was writing about what I did on a Sunday and to kind of prepare for the week, and speaking to a lot of mothers, like exactly like me. And I was really getting a buzz off it, because I'm a natural teacher. I will always teach what I, you know, what I know. And I was at that stage in my life, I was like 34, 35, and I realised all of these things that I was doing that were new and that were really good for me. So I started to share it, and I started to help people, and I could start to see there was something more. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what a life coach was. I didn't think of working in wellness in any shape or form. But I remember saying to my husband, I'd love to take everything that I've learned in the last 4 years and turn that into my career. Like, I want that to be the thing that I do. But that felt beyond me. And then I went to a women's event. I remember standing in the room, and Damien, I'm not joking you, there's all these women around me. They're all different women in business, from GPs, holistic, Reiki, boutiques. But they're all women who backed themselves, who left what they were doing and decided to do something different. And I stood in the room and I thought to myself, I don't know what it is I'm going to do in the future, but I am lit up from the inside out in this room. It was just like electric. All these women who've backed themselves, who've taken really scary leaps. And it was on the drive home that my friend said to me, you'd be a great life coach. And of course I went, what's a life coach? I didn't say it as politely as that now.
And what's your friend's name?
Erica Hearn. Yeah. And then, of course, I Googled it and I thought, well, there's loads of courses you can do. And then I found life coaching with neuroscience, with Positive Success Group. And I was like, oh, my God, this is it. Because it was really solid. It was science-based. And I thought, this is not airy-fairy. Like, I can get behind this. And Irish people will get behind this because it's very clear. You understand the brain. You understand our thought patterns. What is neuroplasticity? Changing our thoughts. I thought, I could sink my teeth into this. So I started that training when COVID hit. So that was great crack because I was teaching Leaving Cert Higher English. I had two young boys, two dogs, a husband and a house. And then I was coaching or training to be a coach for that whole year. And I did that. I qualified at the end of the year and I have never looked back. Took a career break. Very, very scary. Father thought I was nuts. Leaving a pensionable safe job. Never did business studies in school. Wasn't good at maths. And here I was setting up a business. Like, it's actually hilarious. But I'm now 5 years in. I'm just in the process of registering as a company. I've doubled my teaching income. I only work 3 days. And I get to do something that does not feel like work.
You've doubled your teaching income?
Yes.
Wow. And that is, how do you get your money in? From classes, from courses?
So well, up to this point, it's been largely one-to-one clients.
Okay.
So that's been a lot of work. I've just launched before Christmas my mastermind, which is actually full. That sold out within 10 days, which was incredible. Incredible. So I have a group of women that I work with. And then I do events. But you don't make money from the events. The events really are just to get women in a room. I want them to have that experience that I had. And women who, for different reasons, won't ever be able to work with me one-to-one, but they can still benefit from the work. And it's that listening to other women.
And have you an event coming up soon?
I do, actually, yeah. I have my biggest event to date. So it's called Warrior Woman Transformation. And it's happening on January 22nd to 24th in the Gary Vaux Hotel. And it is going to be electric. I've got women coming from all over the world to speak. I'm going to be facilitating myself. We've got an MC who's like a dance and women's health expert. So she's going to be doing a lot of movements. It's going to be brilliant. We're going to really challenge our pelvic floor. Okay, and that's happening at the end of this month. There's about 21 tickets left. So I'd encourage anyone who feels a pull towards what I'm doing and what I'm talking about to reach out.
Some practical advice this morning for anybody listening in terms of habits.
Mm-hmm. So I would say to anybody at this point, right, that if you are busy and you are time poor, try and not add anything brand new to your list because the chances are that it's not going to end well. So I'll give you an example, right? If you said to me, Jennifer, I'm not really a morning person. And I went, OK, Damien, right. And you said, but I'm actually going to do these spinning classes in the gym. And I, brilliant, yeah. And they're on at 6:30 every morning. And I'm going to go, right, OK. So you know you're not a morning person, yet you're signing up to a spinning class at 6:30 in the morning. Do you see the problem there? It's like people who say, I want to be into sea swimming, but they hate the water. Like, have a bit of sense. Don't just do what other people are doing.
Or they live in Offaly.
Yeah. Yes. So look at what you know about yourself, what works for you, what feels like a bit of a stretch, but not too much. Because in the end of the day, small little actions are better than one big one for the week or two of January. And then you just fall flat on your face. You want to set yourself up for success. Okay. Another thing I'd say to people is rather than looking at what you want more of, why don't you have a look at what you want less of? And carry out some time because there's probably about 10 hours in your week that you're wasting between overthinking, taking too much time to write that WhatsApp reply, doom scrolling, comparing yourself to people on TikTok, whatever. I guarantee there's at least 10 hours in everyone's week that they could get back very, very quickly if they were to look at what they spend time on. And I'm not talking about getting really, really type A and strategic on this. Like, I'm a very type B, I'm disorganized, I don't like spreadsheets. I get an allergic reaction when people talk about, you know, spreadsheets and stuff like that. So you don't have to be the opposite of that, but just get really clear on, okay, what do I want less of? Where am I giving my time away that I really don't need to? How and where am I making myself available that I don't actually need to? And I guarantee you, if people did that with a pen and paper or even thought about it out loud, you can voice note it to me. You can send me a DM on Instagram, say, this is what I'm thinking. We will find several errors in your week.
And the doom scrolling is massive.
Yeah.
Like, you go on TikTok, you go on different apps and, like, you just waste your time.
Completely. Yeah.
And then you feel bad because, like, at the minute, again, in January, I'm getting all these notifications and stuff on Instagram, and I'm constantly saying not interested, not interested. Mm-hmm. And it's about how to get a military body in 28 days and how to be join the American army, like, and sort of take over Venezuela and crap like that. Mm-hmm. Like, it's constant.
Mm-hmm. It is constant.
And that's just me as a man, and, you know, man in his 50s, and you're thinking, right, and you feel, they're trying to make you feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you make somebody feel good without making them feel bad?
Okay. How do you make someone feel good without making them feel bad? I don't know if that's possible, right, like in a quick answer. But what I do know that would help very, very quickly is just do a purge of your feed. Like, I do a detox of my Explorer page every kind of season or so. So, like, I decided before Christmas I want to be laughing a lot more on my Explorer page rather than maybe looking at pictures of Pedro Pascal. Do you know what I mean? I told that my husband, and he was like, okay.
And for those that don't know, what's your Explorer page?
Okay, so your Explorer page is, you know, when you go onto Instagram and there's that little circle, it's like a magnifying glass, that if you're looking for something, you go there and you type in Jennifer Davey. And, you know, people like me will come up. It's what the algorithm is showing you, I guess. And then whatever you like, they'll give you more of that. So I would assume you're probably looking at a lot of American politics, and that's why you're getting all the Venezuela stuff.
Well, no, actually. Not
really?
No. I did Google once, maybe, and I've never done this purge of the Explorer page. I would have Googled
calisthenics. Yeah.
And middle-aged men or something like that.
Yeah.
Not that I was looking for a middle-aged man, but like in terms of trying to improve your physique.
Yeah.
And that obviously, that's still there.
Yeah.
So if I go onto that Explorer page and Instagram and just purge that.
Yeah, absolutely. So just like,
clear it.
Just clear it. Like, so I would go on and I type in, like, I think Melissa McCarthy is really, really funny. So I typed her in one day because I wanted to see some reels with her. And now I'm getting a lot of stuff from her and from Saturday Night Live and a lot of funny stuff. So I'm very intentionally, like, only liking the things I want to see. So my Explorer page now is just funny things when I feel like it.
And people should be really aware, and we've done pieces about the algorithm. It's so clever, the algorithm.
Oh, yeah.
This is even before AI has really got into it. But if you like anything at all, straight away, just imagine there's a major computer somewhere in the universe and it's going, okay, let's send all those sort of links to that.
Absolutely. Like, and then, of course, like, unfollowing people, muting people. Like, if there's anyone who is on your feed that gives you the ick, that makes you go, makes you feel less than, either unfollow or mute them immediately, because there's so much BS on social media. Like, I'm allergic. Like, I'm very selective with who I follow. I don't follow big names. I'm just not interested because they're selling.
Yeah. And like, if you're on Facebook and there's a lot of hatred on a particular page, and that's getting you down.
100%. Everything is energy. Everything is energy. So what you surround yourself with, the conversations that you're having, the WhatsApp groups that you're in, if you think you're not letting that, if you think that's not affecting you, then you are really wrong. You don't even have to engage or reply to things. Things can, we just absorb them in if we've no boundaries.
And does this message transcend class? In other words, if you're a poor working class mother, single mother who's living in a crappy house and there's damp and all that sort of stuff, and you have to work all different hours and you have bad relationship experiences and you feel very alone, or you're quite wealthy, you're living in on the Dunmore Road, or whatever the case may be, this message applies to everybody.
Absolutely. I think in many ways the people who are living in the DMR, as they call it, are probably feeling it even more, because I think that world is full of comparison mode and yummy mummies and stupid posts about your new kitchen. Do you know what I mean? So, like, I think those ladies need to
be a nice
listen.
Kitchen, though.
Oh, well,
it
whatever.
Could be a nice island in the middle.
Maybe it is, but it's not
Dermot
making
Bannon.
Them feel as happy as they might be posting about. Do you
Dermot
know what I mean?
Bannon. Do you watch Dermot Bannon?
No, I don't. I know who he is, though. Yeah. But the point is this is universal. This stuff is universal. Absolutely.
What makes you happy?
Oh.
Your dad.
Oh, my dad is very funny. My mother is hilarious as well. She's unintentionally funny.
Is she?
I love the sea. I love a clean kitchen. You know, about 7:30 when the dinner is done and the kitchen is clean, like proper clean. Like the sink is clean as well. Like that's a full clean, right? And you light a candle and you're like, oh, this is bliss.
And does your husband do a proper clean?
Oh, he does. Does he? Well trained, yeah.
Well trained.
Yeah. Men are like puppies.
Are they?
They're like puppies.
Right.
They're very smart, but you need to tell them exactly what's done.
And what if they cocked their leg and wee in the wrong place and do something that they shouldn't
just
do?
Just clean up afterwards. I don't care.
Get them to clean up, exactly.
Oh, 100%. I'm not doing that. Ain't got time for that.
Do you need to give them a little bit of rope? Do you need to extend the lead every now and then and let them and pull them back then when necessary?
That's a good question. I can only speak to my experience. So the man I'm with since I'm 14. We're like 27 years together, right? And he's gorgeous and I love him. But he's so different to me. So easygoing, right? So in terms of rope, I've never had to give Wayne any rope because he's so chill. He kind of follows me.
Okay.
So what I mean by that is I'm the real generator. I'm the go-getter.
You're the boss.
I'm the boss, but... I actually asked him this over Christmas over drinks, right?
Go.
I was saying,
he's
going to kill me. But I was saying to him over Christmas, because we're together, like I said, 27 years. And I said to him, thank you. And I said to him, you know, isn't it mad that you still love me? Because I've changed a lot, right? And he said, you know what? That's what I love about you, actually. Because you're never boring. You're always really interesting. And I just think you're very interesting. Even when we have our conversations about manifestation, he talks about I would talk about it in terms of quantum physics and everything is energy, and that's really what I wish more people talked about manifestation in that way, but he kind of thinks differently about it, we'll say, and has a very different opinion on it. But that's what makes us work. No, I haven't really answered your question.
You have. That's because he has recognized essentially one of the driving forces within you, your soul in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And that ability to change and to adapt and adopt.
Mm.
And that's really important, because you get so many people in jobs or in life and they want to change, but they don't have the confidence to do so.
Oh, yeah. Everything is confidence. And I say that because behind confidence is self-belief, and behind self-belief are the stories we tell ourselves. And we are the sum of the stories we tell ourselves. And if you say, I'm not going to do it, then you will never do it, no matter how perfect the circumstances are. So it's checking in with the stories you tell yourself, which is easy once you have the awareness, but very difficult if you don't know how to start with that. And that's something that I'm insanely good at. I'm very good at seeing through women's words very quickly and kind of seeing what's behind that and pulling them out. And I'm not just saying that because I know that about myself, but a lot of women have said that to me. How do you have the answer so quickly? You know, when I'm speaking on stages and there's questions and I will have an answer, or women have said to me, you know exactly what to say to someone, just to kind of open that door a little bit. But with empathy, you know what I mean? But I think once we have that awareness around the stories we tell ourselves, like I'm not enough, I'm a bad wife, or I'm a rubbish mother, I'm no crack anymore, you know, whatever those things are. Once we're aware of those stories, then we can change. And we all have that ability in us. That's the good news here. Like everyone has that ability in us. But you just need to be open to find it.
We haven't touched on all the other different habits because we've run way over time. And that was a lovely, lovely conversation. And it's a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you. Lovely to meet you too.
And I'm glad I reached out to you. And thanks for texting or messaging back.
My pleasure. Let's do it again.
That old internet is
it's great.
Fierce handy old
thing. It is great. Yeah. It's a great connector. Yeah.
Do the mum and dad go on it much? Is your dad on Instagram?
Oh, my father loves Instagram. Oh, not Instagram. Facebook and YouTube is his happy place.
He's not an Insta person.
No. I mean, I think he has one of those occurrences, like he lurks maybe. Do you know what I mean? Like no picture and it's something weird like JR784 or something. But he's more of a Facebook person. Yeah.
We must have the two of them in someday to some crack, wouldn't it, with you?
Oh, my God. My mother wouldn't get a word in and my dad wouldn't stop talking. Who would you say I'm like?
Thank you so much, Jennifer Davey, aka Wellbeing Warrior. And you can follow Jennifer on wellbeingwarrior.ie.
Website, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn is Jennifer Davey, D-A-V-Y.
LinkedIn as well, okay, for the posh people.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer, thanks.
Thank you.